Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to share your word tonight together. You're so awesome, Lord. We love you. We set our love upon you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you are always ready. Your door to your heart is always open. You're ready for your people to come. And we come tonight boldly before your throne because you've invited us here, Lord. And you've invited us in to be taught by your living word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present with us tonight to enlighten our understanding. Thank you for the seed of the word, which will bear much harvest. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But tonight is Walking in the Ways of the Lord, part 28. And it's part 3 of The Lord is My Shepherd, I Am at Rest in the Lord, part 3. There will be one more part. I kind of thought there would be 3, but it's coming out to be 4. Had an awesome study last week. I didn't realize how awesome it was till I put the CDs together. There was a lot of good stuff. So tonight we'll be starting in verse 3, but first we will start with our little statement, our foundational statement for this section. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the peace and rest of the Lord. This person exercises the fruit of peace in every area of their life. They are at rest in God's living word. That fruit of peace will be present with them. But the thing is, when the fruit of peace is there, that fruit is visible to others. Others will recognize that peace. Just like Nate was talking earlier, you functioned in peace there. You refuse to allow that
it
to
seems
take...
contrary considering what happened, but that was literally the point of
but,
it.
Yeah. The point of it, you didn't allow strife to come in. Mm-hmm. You fought the strife. Mm-hmm. You resisted that. And that's that. You weren't aware that's what you were doing at the time, maybe, but that's what
Why
you were doing.
Why your Holy Spirit in you doing
yeah.
that?
The Holy Spirit is so real and so with us, you know. We'll do things to resist things that steal our peace. And that had the potential of stealing your peace.
Yeah.
You know, we spend time with the Lord and we start exercising these fruits, we'll become aware of them as we walk through our daily life, but other people will become aware of them. They'll affect not only you, but they'll affect the other people around you. Because this person no longer flies off the handle like they used to. Something different in their life. They'll start recognizing things in their lives that have changed. This person used to fly off the handle all the time, but they don't do that anymore. It takes a lot to get them upset. And even when they do get upset, it doesn't last long. You know, so that's what it means by exercising the fruit of peace. But it's not just peace, because peace... like all the rest of the fruits, they draw on the other fruits. When one is present and being exercised, it also exercises the other fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. They draw on one another, and one tends to bring forth another one. You know, they complement each other. And it's so awesome when that happens. Because without walking in love, you can't walk in peace.
That's right.
So peace affects love. Peace will affect patience. And so that's one will be coming up one of these days. And peace will also affect our joy. It affects the joy that we walk in. So you can see, if you just stop and think about it, how one fruit will affect another fruit and its ability to function. So they draw on one another. Every time I read that, I see something as I'm reading it, that statement, the foundational statement, I see something I didn't see the last time in it. But Mother, if you would, like before, read all of Psalm 23 in the Amplified Classic, and then we'll proceed with verse 3.
The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only, goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place.
Oh, that's such a beautiful picture of a person walking in the rest of the Lord. And, I mean, you know, this is the way we're supposed to be walking. Note here verse 2 is directly related to verse 3. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. We talked about that last week. Today we'll be talking about verse 3. He refreshes and restores my life myself. He leads me in paths of righteousness, uprightness and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. You know, when you think of fresh, green pastures and still, restful waters, I think of refreshing. I think of a person that is parched, he's tired, he's like the guy that's been walking through the desert or something, and you get that drink of water and all of a sudden there's a refreshing comes. Or you've worked hard outside and you get that cold glass of water when you come in, it brings a refreshing. And that's, those two verses are tied together. Verse 3 is the result of what? Of verse 2. When he makes you to lie down in fresh, tender green pastures and leads you beside the still restful waters, that's a place of refreshing. It's a place of new life. It's a place where you can lay down the burdens of your daily life and come home and just relax and rest. That's the rest that comes from the Word, the rest that comes from our faith. You might still be in a struggle, you might still have all kinds of problems coming at you from every side, but where God places you in the midst of those storms, he places you beside the still restful waters and the green, fresh, tender, green pastures, because he wants you to rest in the middle of that storm. And verse 4 and 5, there coming up, talks about the struggles that you're in. But where are you in the middle of those struggles? You're in the place of rest with God. And that's what this person of peace, he walks through the storms of life with resting in the Word, resting in the presence of God, resting through the middle of the problems. I like what you said, Nate, because that's what you did. No matter that storm was coming at you, had a potential of being a cloudy, rainy thunderstorm that would affect you and her. But you done what wisdom said to do, and you just simply cut it off. You know, it takes two to fight. For strife to be there, it takes two. One person can't have strife by themselves. So when you take that away, what's the result? Rest and peace. There is a rest in the middle of that. And even if the other person doesn't rest in the midst of that, you are. And what the other person does, he runs out of fuel real quick. If you don't argue back with them, what's left? You know, they run out of fuel. They make their so-called point, and you don't even say anything back. Let it stay there. I ain't going to answer that. That's not worth answering. Because you're living in this place. And that's important for us to realize that. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Psalm 25, verse 4. So there's a lot in the Bible about the Lord leaving us. And Psalm 23 and Psalm 91, like I say, they lay over the top of one another. This person that is walking in the ways of the Lord, that's walking in peace, he will be a person being led by the Spirit, being led by the Lord. Why? Because he's at peace. He's at rest in the Word. He's got something to anchor his rest on. He's just not a person that just, you know, that just is naturally peaceful. He's got something he's anchored his peace in. He's anchored his peace in the Word. Whenever problems and issues come along, he's got himself anchored in the Word. That's where he goes to receive his life, receive his refreshing, receive his strength right in the middle of these problems and issues. So it's awesome. In that time, God is leading us. He's leading us in the decisions we make. He's leading us in what we say, how we respond to the circumstances of life. He's the one that's leading us. And if you're not at peace, you won't hear him. If you're not striving for that peace that only he can give through his word, if you're not looking for that, if you're not focused on that, he won't be able to lead you. He'll be trying to, but you'll be carnally minded. And because you're carnally minded, your emotions are high. And because your emotions are high, that's how you respond. That's how you respond to those things that we face every day. Whether it be the little old lady at the checkout counter that she can't think. She's troubled. She bought too much or whatever. Or people are just totally ignorant of everybody around them. They don't even know you're there. You know, and you tend to get upset with them. You tend to get, but that's the carnal nature rising up. But if you're a person at peace, you'll be patient with that person, because the fruit of peace will affect your patience. Because you're a person of peace, you'll let that person, you'll help them if you can. You'll be praying for them. You'll just stand back and rest and let this work its way out instead of getting upset with that person. You don't know what they're going through. They may have a medical issue or something. They may be just old. You know, just old. We're not old, by the way. It depends on how you look at it, but we're not old. So this is something that we really want to strive for in our life. So he leads us. And we've got several scriptures we're going to read here about the way the Lord leads. But that peace and rest has to be present in each one of them before he will be able to lead us, because we won't follow. We won't hear him. Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and faithfulness, and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you only and altogether do I wait expectantly all the day long. Now, a person that's not walking in peace will not wait for the Lord. Wait or be patient. When you see waiting upon the Lord, it don't mean just serving him, which you are serving him. But it means being patient. It means being long-suffering. It means not allowing your emotions to arise when you think God's not moving fast enough. You know he is. You know it's working. You have faith in him. You trust him. You've given your life to him. And when your emotions start rising up and you start getting impatient, that's a time when you start talking to yourself. Look, Michael, the Lord is faithful. He will never leave me nor forsake me. My life is in his hands. I trust him. I trust you, Lord. And that will help to bring a rest back to me in the middle of that time when I'm getting a little antsy because the pressure is on. There's a time limit here. Well, guess who's in charge of time? There's so much so, there's several instances where God even stopped the shadow and made it go backwards. In other words, the world went backwards for a little while. And he actually stopped time. And it's a day and so many hours when they calculate time that is actually missing. But the Bible tells you where it is. God did that. It's in the Word. It talks about where he stopped time or made time to go backwards for certain reasons. And if he did it that then, he can do it now. If it takes that to get this thing working for me, he will move heaven and earth to get my need answered if I'm being faithful and trustworthy. He'll do whatever it takes as long as I'm faithful, as long as I'm trusting. He will see to it that that need is met. Even though I don't see it happening, it will happen. There's a lot going on in the invisible realm of eternity and the invisible realm of the Spirit that we don't see. And that's where our faith comes in. Where we have to have faith and trust in God to do what he said he would do. If I don't trust him to do that, he can't do it. Because my faith isn't working. It's just that simple. I am involved in what he does. So here's David right in the middle of his problems. He's asking God to show him. Show me your ways, he said. David wants the Lord to show him. And we're talking about walking in the ways of the Lord. So we're doing that. We're asking the Lord to show us his ways. Teach me your paths. Well, a path and a way are the same thing. You know, ways or acts or ways of behaving. But when it says path, that means it's the same thing as saying your ways. Because it's his way of life or pattern of life. Or way of doing things. Guide me in your truth. Well, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So what's he saying? Guide me in your word. Guide me in your truth. And guide me in your truth and faithfulness and teach me. He'll teach us. If I don't know it, he'll teach me. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
He will teach me what I need to know. Hallelujah. Now let's go down to verse 9 in the same chapter. He leads the humble in what is right. And the humble, he teaches his way. So in verse 4 and 5, he asks God to teach him his ways. And then in verse 9, he says that God will teach the humble his ways. Well, I'll have to wait for God to humble me then. He's not going to do it.
You don't want that.
No. But he's not going to humble you. You have to humble yourself. You have to come to him, and no matter what you feel like, no matter how much you think you can handle it yourself, you bow to him and receive him as Lord. If he's Lord, you're humbling yourself under him. You're not thinking better of yourself than you are. He leads the humble in what is right. So in order for him to lead me in what is right, I'm going to have to humble myself. And the humble, he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and steadfast love. Even truth and faithfulness are they. So, if it's the path of the Lord or his way, ways and paths are basically the same. If it's his way, if I'm walking in his path and his way, then mercy and steadfast love, truth and faithfulness will be there. So I need to be looking for that. I need to be looking for mercy, steadfast love, truth and faithfulness. But not am I only looking for it. This is the way I live. When they see me, They will see a person that has mercy. He walks in mercy. He gives mercy. He's steadfast in his love walk. He's steadfast or strong in his love walk. He walks in truth. He's not a person who will deceive. He's walking in truth. And he's faithful. So this is this person that has humbled himself and walking in the ways of the Lord. It says all the paths. Now that doesn't leave anything to chance. Mercy, steadfast love, truth, and faithfulness are always in the path of the Lord, are always in his ways. So we talked about through this series that his ways are supposed to be our ways. It's the way we're supposed to be living. So this should be a picture of who we are. We're supposed to be doing this. And if I find out that I'm not walking in mercy towards others, if I'm not walking in his truth, if I'm not, my love walk is not steadfast, then I've got some correcting to do. Now, he's guiding me in that, but if I'm not walking in that, am I on his path? Probably not. That means in order for my ways to be his ways, I have to take some corrective actions in my life. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and steadfast love, even truth and faithfulness are they for those. So here's the condition coming up. For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The covenant and the testimonies are the word of God. We keep them. In other words, when we fail, we repent and change it. We come to him. We humble ourselves. For me to come and confess my sins, it means I'm humbling myself to him. If I'm not walking in mercy, truth and faithfulness and loving kindness, I'm wrong. And it's something I need to come to the Lord and I need to confess that. Humble myself and confess that. That's when it gets fixed. That's when he can function and correct that for me. As far as the devil is concerned, and as far as my pathway is concerned, I never fell. Because he fixed it. Now I'm right back where I should have been. Because I took charge of it. I took command of that circumstance. I humbled myself and I confessed it. I was wrong. No reasons. Yeah, but God, did you see what he done to me? I mean, after all, who can put up with that? You can. That's the way he looks at that. You can put up with that. I gave you my spirit living within you. I gave you my word. You're walking in my ways. You can put up with that. You don't have to acknowledge that or yield to that. So you don't make excuses. What I'm saying to God, just, I'm wrong, Father. Hey, don't let it bring you down either. Once you confess it, it's as if you never done it. Don't let the circumstances, once you've confessed them to the Lord, don't let the devil use those circumstances to bring you back down. Trust God. He said he would cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said that. If you confess your sins. Do I believe that? If I don't believe that, I'm in big time trouble all the rest of my life.
Well, that's what 2 Peter 1 says, that if to give all diligence to those things, mm-hmm. Okay? Because if you don't, by the verse 9 says, you'll forget you are forgiven of your sins.
That's exactly
all
right.
All your sins will keep coming back to haunt you.
Yeah. We have to believe what he said. And I don't care what translation you go to or how many different ways you read it, it comes out the same thing. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All is all. Amplified says continuously cleanse. In other words, it's an ongoing action. Once you confess that sin, even if it tries to come back, if you don't receive it, you're still cleansed of it. He said that. So that's part of positioning myself in order for him to teach me. Psalm 32 and verse 7. The word has a lot to say about God leading us and guiding us. If I'm going through this nasty life, I want God to lead me. I want to know that I'm on his path. That means I've got to have an ear to hear. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. This is David again. You shall preserve me from trouble. He didn't say he wouldn't have trouble. You'll preserve me from it. That doesn't mean you don't have the trouble. It means right in the middle of it, you're fine. He's taking care of you. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. And then God says, now David said that. David said verse 8 or 7. Now in response to what David just got done saying, God answers back in verse 8. I will. Now what's that? That's an absolute. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Other translations say my eye on your path, but it's always his eye or heart. He's looking at where you're going. He's watching where you're going. He's teaching you. Why? Because of what David confessed. David confessed, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And then David stops and meditates on that. Then he can hear God because he's positioned himself to hear. Then God speaks. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Now, what is David's response to that? It should be praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for showing me the way that I need to walk. David, a lot of times before he'd go out and fight, he'd ask God, should I go up? Should I go out to fight? He wouldn't just go fight because there's a fight there. He'd say, should I go? God would say, go. I've delivered them into your hands. But then he says, next time he says, should I go out? Should I go out to fight? God says, no. Go over this way. Go down into the valley. When you hear them rustling in the mulberry tree, like sound of marching troops, then attack. So he gave them a different battle plan. In other words, don't go right out and face them. I've got another plan here. He still delivered it into his hands. But that's because David was doing this. David was doing this, and God was instructing him in what to do. And he'll do the same thing for us. When we've got an issue or a problem coming up or something we need to do, and we seek the Lord, he'll tell us in our spirit, go ahead. You'll know to proceed. I told you a couple weeks ago about a circumstance that I had where someone wanted me to do something. And I couldn't see. I waited and prayed. There didn't seem to be any reason why I shouldn't. But then when I texted back that I would do it, how I become very uneasy. My peace wasn't there, and the longer it went, the stronger it got. God was leading me. And next morning, I texted the person back and said, I can't do it, and I told them why. They understood why. A few days later, I found out why. I knew I was in somebody else's place, and I was in somebody else's place had I taken that. And it rejoiced my spirit because I knew when the circumstance showed itself what was happening, I would have been totally wrong. And when we went to the church that we went to, in place of that, we were supposed to be there. But that's what you got to do. You got to learn. And I'm not perfect with it. There's times when I miss it and I make a mistake. And I go some way I'm not supposed to. But if we'll take a moment and listen and ask the Lord. See, David asked the Lord, should I go? We need to do the same thing. Lord, is this something I need to do? If you're put in a place where you've got to rush into something, chances are you're not supposed to do it. Very seldom will God push you. If it appears that God is doing it and it is God and you think you're being pushed into it, it's only because you haven't been listening. Because God's been talking to you about that thing for a long time. You're not listening. You're not where you should have been listening. Something's not right because God doesn't push you into things. He always gives you a choice. He always works with choice. And I think that's so awesome. But David, here, God said to David, I will instruct you. So we can take that when we've got those kind of circumstances and say, Lord, should I do this? Is this something I need to do? And I'm pretty big on that because I've had my lessons over my life. I usually will wait a long time before I do something. And a lot of times if I've got a decision on something to make and it's kind of out of the ordinary or something I wouldn't normally do or something that has maybe consequences with it, most of the time I won't say anything to anybody about it. I'll think about it a month, 6 weeks, longer. I'll just keep rehearsing and listening. And most of the time, there'll be four or five or more different choices to make that I could make any of them. And during that process, those are being eliminated to where I got a couple. And then I get to the place where I've thought it out. Not in the sense of finding out what to do, but I've went as far as I could go. I'm not getting any more. So that's when I'll bring it to her normally. And I'll start telling her about this. She gets a little impatient because I've got to cover all the details. She don't want to know the details. She wants the beginning and the end. You know, she charges into it. And I don't do that. See, but she comes out pretty good all the time. But that's her way of doing things. Me, I don't do that on anything. And it you're doing the but that's we're just different, okay? But anyways, I do that, and I see David doing that. I see David as I read the Psalms. I see him taking the issue to the Lord and waiting, which you see David talk about waiting all the time through the Scriptures, and that's what he's doing. That's what I do. I kind of got a habit of that. I probably do it in areas where I don't need to.
But it's your personality.
It's my personality, but it's also I've learned some things, and I want to know. I want to know what God wants me to do. I believe He's interested in every area of my life. I just believe that. Right down to where I park. I believe that He's interested in that. There's no mistakes in God. I find all the time that something is just a normal thing you do. If you do it by listening to Him, there'll be a reason for it. You'll have an encounter or something with somebody you wouldn't ordinarily meet, like you tell about that woman in the Walmart. You didn't have to go down that aisle. You went down that aisle. There she is. And quite a statement. It was an encounter that God had you to do. But that happens to us all the time if we'll listen and wait. And wait for the Lord. But that's what David's doing. And this is a big thing here, like a kind of a fight. But it's not only in fights. It can be in simple things. Just the street that you go down. You might have an impression. You always go this way. And you've been doing it for years. And all of a sudden you think, I think I'll take the back way. Should I take the back way? You know, should I go? There's just like a little something inside And you would normally not even think about it, but there's a little urgence, a little urge in you to take a different way. And you say, okay, I think I will. And you it's kind of coming from here and not here, not coming from your inner being, your stomach area, or your heart area, not coming from your head, you know. And the more you think about it, you find out it's from here, from the heart. So you better listen to that. There's a reason. Right up the road, you could have got killed if you hadn't taken that.
Could have been an accident or something.
Pardon?
Could have been an accident.
Could have been right up the road, and you don't know. But just a second or two makes a difference. And God says, go this way. And you push on it, and you go that way, and later you find out why.
You might never find out.
Not ever find out why, but there's a reason. And sometimes you find out, sometimes you don't. Maybe I'm oversensitive to that, but I don't think you can be oversensitive to it. I don't think I'm sensitive enough.
Well, we're talking about the inward witness.
That's what we're talking about. And that's what David's talking about here. He will lead us. That's how he leads, by the inner witness. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. That's what we've been talking about. Verse 6. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will. That's a positive. That's an absolute. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. So if I'm in all of my ways, I know, recognize, and acknowledge him, then he will direct and make straight and plain my path. Why? Because I'm honoring him. I'm listening to him. I'm expecting him to guide me, even in the little things. If I can't allow him to direct me in the little things, he will not be able to drive me and direct me in the big things. If I make it a pattern of my life, when the big storms come my way, I'm going to be expecting him to lead me and guide me, and he will. Normally, through those little things, he's leading me and guiding me around the big thing. Those little things are steps in my path to guide me into, like that little rudder turns a boat, to guide me around the bigger thing that's ahead. Like that little urge to take a different way home or to wherever I was going. Those are little things, and we think they're not important. But that little thing will link to another little thing, will link to another little thing, and he's guiding us around something. But if I wait for the problem to come and then ask him to guide me and direct me, it's too late. It'll be hard for that to happen because I'm only expecting him to guide me when trouble comes. And that's not what he wants. He wants to lead and guide me in every area of life, in all of my ways, it says. In all of my ways. Then it says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. I got to ask myself, do I do that? Do I rely on him, lean on him, trust him? Am I confident in him to lead me in these little areas as well as the big? With all your heart and mind. So now I'm not only listening to the inner witness, but the inner witness is governing my mind. My carnal nature is submitted now to the inner man. That's what that's talking about. With all of my heart and all of my mind, I'm bringing my own desires and thoughts, my carnal everyday life that I hear, my decision making that I normally make, I'm submitting that to the spirit man, allowing the spirit man to be in control. And if he's in control, my mind will agree with what he's leading. And then in the little ways, that I don't even recognize that I'm doing it. I'll be following him as he leads and guides me.
Well, you just live your life. But if you head in the wrong direction, he will let you know.
He'll let you know.
That's pretty much what I find is just go along.
Well, because you've already submitted your mind to the Spirit. So it's your normal way of life. So your normal steps are already ordered by him. So when you make a step in the wrong way, it's easier for you to hear and guide, but you're just living your life, but it's already in line with the Spirit. But if you're emotionally driven, that's not the case. So when the trouble comes, you're going to have to work at that. And you may or may not have time to do it if the problem's already there. He can get you out of it by doing it, but it's a lot easier to avoid it completely. You know, you don't want to have to work your way out of a problem. You don't want the problem to begin with.
Right.
You know, and if you're already aware of it's coming, now you're prepared for it when it gets there. Or if it never comes, you're still prepared for it. Well, that's what happens when you acknowledge him in all of your ways. You want your ways to line up with God. That's what you want. And if you don't know if they are or not, ask him to show you and expect him to. And he'll show you those little ways. I love this. And he will. He will. I love looking at absolutes in the Bible. Psalm 19 and verse 14. This is the major problem where we don't line up. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my firm, impenetrable rock and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth. This is, David is talking to the Lord here. This is his desire. He's saying, I want my words, the words of my mouth, and what I think about, meditation of my heart, to be acceptable in your sight. Is what I'm saying, what I'm thinking about, is it acceptable to the Father? If it's not, you should not be thinking that. That's something that you need to deal with. And if it's something that is a pattern of life for most of your life, cussing or whatever, you need to bring it into submission. And allow him to correct you there. He will help you with that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He strengthens you. He teaches you. He guides you. It's so awesome when he does, because you know you're not alone in this. It's not something that you have to work your way through on your own. You're yielding to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's teaching you. Then when it comes up again, you're stronger. When that comes your way again, you're less apt to do it because the Holy Spirit will remind you of the last time. Not in a way that the devil reminds you, saying, see there, you failed the last time, you're going to fail this time too. No, God will say, remember that, I helped you there. Don't do this. I'll strengthen you. You don't have to do that. I'll strengthen you. That's God's way. But he still leaves your choice with you. You can still go the hard way if you want to. But the easy way is to go God's way. To allow him to strengthen you in that. It may slide a little bit slippery road. But then he'll guide you and grab you and put you back on a straight ground again. Because you want him to. It's a heart condition. If you're not expecting him to, if you don't even think about it, then you're going to have to dig yourself out of that hole when you get back in it. I don't want to dig myself back out of where I've already been. Do you? I don't want to dig myself out again. I've been there already several times. Numerous times. So I don't want to have to dig myself out. But if I'm allowing God to guide me in those little ways, when those things come up, I'll be able to hear him. And I'm more apt to go and conform the right way. Nate had an opportunity to fly off the handle. He didn't. Normal behavior, he would have. But he didn't, because he's conforming his life in other ways the Holy Spirit was able to speak to him. I've been there myself. Mother's been there. We all have, and we'll probably have opportunities in the future. But he doesn't want us to go through those things. Why should I have to dig myself out of a hole I dug? Don't dig the hole if you don't want to have to dig your way out. That's stupid. Don't dig a hole you don't want to get out of. Now we'll start verse 4. Believe it or not, we're going to get two in tonight. Praise the Lord. We've only been able to get one verse at a time, so we're going to get two in tonight.